friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
They're not
say
done.
That again, Jeffrey.
They're not done till they're done. But they're getting close to being done, or are they getting close to the postseason? Who knows? I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy's Andy Baskin. Let's go to the fan hotline. He's one of the top writers, period, in the United States of America. He's from Northeast Ohio. We've had him on the show many times before. He loves his baseball. There's no question about that. Joe Poznanski joins us. Joe, welcome. Good to have you back.
Hey, Joe.
Good to be back.
If you Google Joe's name and look under images, you'll see him wearing his Cleveland Indians throwback hat from the 1970s. So,
oh yeah,
you're wearing your Cleveland baseball love. Should we be proud, impressed, what, that this team is still in contention in mid-September despite having the lowest batting average in Major League Baseball and being at the bottom of almost every other offensive stat, or should we be embarrassed?
not embarrassed. I certainly don't think you should be embarrassed. I think it's pretty cool to see this team kind of showing life at the end of the year, and they're still like kind of legitimately in it. I mean, tonight's game is so big. I mean, they've got six left with the Tigers. They're you know, within. I mean, they're kind of have. You know, and in their own control, even though they've been back all year and it seemed pretty hopeless for most of the year. So yeah, I think this late run is really cool. And the Tigers have been kind of meandering the last, few weeks. So, I'm excited about tonight's game. And, look, this is one of those, you hear it all the time in sports that, oh, this is a must win. This is a must win. It's a must win. If they lose tonight, then yeah, it's probably over. And at that point, you just kind of, you hope to win a few games and get lucky or whatever. But if they win tonight, I think there's going to be some nervousness in Detroit.
So you're saying it's just important that they get out and jump out and get that first game of this series, right? Like they can afford to lose one.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Saying that it's like it's over. But look, you've got six games. You know that you're going to have to take four or five, maybe all six of them, in order to win this thing. And you want it to start tonight. I mean, if you're a Detroit fan, I think you feel pretty good if they win tonight. I mean, if the Tigers win tonight. You feel pretty strong, that you're going to be able to just kind of coast this thing out to the finish line. But I really truly believe tonight's game is huge.
How does this team keep contending without spending big money and without having big bats, Joe?
Well, I mean, they are, first of all, we've talked about on the show before, they're excellent at developing pitching. I mean, they just manage to find pitchers everywhere. I mean, this year has not only been rough with the bats, which I don't think was unexpected. I mean, this is a team that's been struggling to hit for a long time now, other than Jose Ramirez. But also, the issues with the bullpen and some of the off the field stuff they've been dealt a lot of blows, but this team plays great defense. This team, finds pitching in all sorts of places and they squeak out wins. I mean, it's not a fluke when you've been doing that for 10 years. It feels like every single year that's what Cleveland brings. And it reminds me a little bit of what Milwaukee does. I mean, Milwaukee's got a little bit more now, but same thing, kind of a small market, kind of trying to piece things together. Cleveland has taken a few shots at trying to get some bats that have not really worked out. But Jose Ramirez is, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame someday, and they find pitching and they somehow piece together, winning seasons all the time.
Joe, what do you think of the third wild card in general? I love it because it's keeping us engaged in the Guardians, but I'm also wondering, you know, if you like it as far as the playoff format and the way things kind of roll.
I don't like it. I mean, I do like it that, you know, at this time of year, the teams like Cleveland and Cincinnati and Arizona and other teams that have sort of been out of it for most of the year kind of feel like they've still got a shot. But I don't like it. Like, you know, to me, my favorite part of baseball is the pennant races. That's my favorite part of the season. And for the pennant race to really feel special, it needs to be for everything. You see, one team gets to go to the playoffs and one team doesn't. And, you know, you're looking at like that race in the National League West. You got the Dodgers and the Padres, and it's pretty close. And the Padres are not going away. And the Dodgers, you know, have been up and down, especially lately. But it doesn't matter. I mean, they're both going to make the playoffs. Neither one is going to get the first round bye. So it's just, they're just shuffling, you know, and that, I don't like that. So that's kind of what the third wild card does in some ways. But when you have a sort of a stirring wild card race, which, you know, particularly in the National League seems, you know, with the Mets collapse, that now seems like that's pretty wide open. I like that. I do like that. And I like that it is keeping Cleveland in there. But, yeah, overall, I'm not a big fan.
Joe Posnanski joining us. And you can get all the information you need about Joe at joeposnanski.com. It's P-O-S-N-A-N-S-K-I. New book coming out. We're going to touch on that coming up in just a minute, Joe. I'm curious as to what you think about what's happened with Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz. And we've had nothing but silence since, other than, yeah, Okay, let's continue having you not here while we pay you. Do you think those guys ever play in the major leagues again?
Well, I mean, look, I wouldn't want to guess, but I think what you just said is really important. We're hearing nothing. And because we're hearing nothing, that cannot be good. You know, that it feels like they are, you know, sort of, they keep extending, you know, the time that they can't play. They keep sort of pushing things forward without telling anybody anything. And my guess is that it's really ugly. And whether or not that's a year long suspension, whether or not it's, you know, a lifetime suspension, I don't fully know what, you know, where this thing ends up or whether it's time served. I mean, it could be anything still at this point, but it's that silence that's really concerning. I mean, the silence is, you know, senses like they're kind of, you know, just pushing this thing. They don't even want to talk about it. Probably now at this point, they won't talk about it until after the season's even over. I mean, that's the way it seems to be pointing. And, you know, that's just not good.
Let's switch gears to the Browns. Speaking of not good, they're 0-2 to start the season. We have no idea where this thing's going to go as far as the quarterbacks are concerned, although Kevin said Joe's his guy for this week and he wasn't going to talk about changing quarterbacks. Just your thoughts on the Browns and where they're going.
Yeah, well, you know, over at joeposnanski.com, thank you for mentioning that. I do a weekly Browns diary, and this week's was, you know, fairly depressing because, I mean, the season already feels over to me. I mean, it already feels like, okay, what are they playing for? You know, it's not like this team is going to suddenly turn around. And they've got a great defense. I legitimately believe, even though, you know, they obviously gave up the four touchdown passes, all of them were, you know, none of them were like just drives right down the field or anything. They were all, you know, because of a blocked punt and because of a interception or a fumble return or whatever. I think this is a great defense, potentially. I think Myles Garrett is maybe still the best defensive player in football, and they're just blowing it. And you know, I was among, I imagine, all of your listeners, thoroughly enjoyed when Joe Flacco, you know, showed up out of nowhere and took the Browns to the playoffs a couple of years ago. It was a really great fun and a great story. But now you're looking at a 40-year-old quarterback who retired 3 years ago, and you're like, "What? How long is this going to go on?" You know, I mean, you know, Kevin Stefanski loves running those rollouts, and boy, he just does not. That's just not his game at all. And so I don't know. What's so frustrating to me about the Browns as a fan is, it felt like everything was kind of going in the right direction, and then it collapsed so fast. It collapsed so suddenly. And I mean, I think we all know what the key move in that was, but it just went away. So they not only stopped being like good, they skipped right over mediocre and went to, you know, worst team in football level play. And that's just so frustrating.
Joe Posnanski joining us. Joe, with that thought in mind, what should they be doing? A quarterback, especially with those two first round picks next year. I mean, it's confusing to me what they might be trying to do at quarterback.
It's totally confusing. I mean, you know, they seem to have found a guy that fits into the system. And they're like, okay, let's draft him and we're going to move on and, you know, we'll have him as a backup to Flacco and have him learn. And then suddenly it's like, oh, let's also take Shedeur Sanders. Why not? Let's just grab him too. Like that made absolutely no sense. Here's what I would say. I mean, you know, I'm not one of these people that's like bench the quarterback, you know, because what difference does it make? But I think they need to find out if they've got a guy, all right? I think they need to find, and they have two of them now. I think they need to find out if one of those guys is potentially the quarterback. And maybe they already know from watching in practice. But, I mean, where is Joe Flacco going to take this team? I mean, it's fine. You start him at the beginning of the year because you're like, all right, he gives us our best chance to win. But at some point, don't you have to find out about those two guys? Like you said, they've got two first-round picks, and it looks like it could be potentially a decent quarterback draft. I mean, that's – you have to know before then if you've got a guy. So I'd like to see them do something there that makes sense. But I mean, you guys have been talking – you talk about this every day. I mean, does anything feel like it makes sense? That's the big problem I have with this team.
The defense could feel like it makes sense, but everything else seems like it's just, the quarterback stuff is a mess. All right, Joe, before we, because I want to make sure I ask you some stuff. You have so many books out. Why We Love Football, Why We Love Baseball, The Baseball 100, The Life and Afterlife of Harry Houdini. You've got Paterno, The Secret of Golf, The Watson Nicklaus Story, The Machine, Big Red Machine, and then the Buck O'Neill Trip Through America called The Soul of Baseball. I am super excited about this because Dan was telling me about it on the way in. Tell me about Big Fan. That comes out next year.
Yeah, it comes out May 19th. I could not be more excited about it. It's the name is the story. It's a story about what it means to be a fan. Traveled around the world for this one. Just, you know, going to various events and writing about what it means to be a fan, interviewing people, but also just experiencing all of these crazy things. But what's really, really fun about this one is I wrote this book with my friend Michael Shore, who's the guy who created Parks and Recreation and Brooklyn Nine-Nine and The Good Place, and he just won an Emmy for Hacks a couple of nights ago. You know, one of my best friends in the world, and so we traveled all around to all of these places, the World Darts Championship and hockey and baseball and football and soccer and everything else you can imagine, to write about what it means to be a fan. And I honestly have to tell you, I'm just totally in love with this book and I'm so excited. You know, it's been killing me because I've been high, you know, they wanted us to make a big announcement. So I, you know, not said anything about it. And now we're still 8 months away from it coming out, but it's available for pre-order now. We actually have a couple of pre-order offers going where we're going to sign books for everybody. So there's a lot of really cool stuff going on. But yeah, the book is called Big Fan, and I am so jazzed about it.
Well, we'll have you on many times before then, so we'll be talking more about it. Let me just leave everybody with this. I love what Esquire said about your book, The Baseball 100. It's a big fat orgy of baseball goodness.
I just want that review for every one of my books. Just the first part of it, a big fat orgy of, and then just whatever
and then
else
fill
follows.
In the blank. Exactly,
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Wait, I can't let you go. How did you become friends with Michael Shore?
Oh, that's a long story. It's a funny story, but I'll save it for next time. But I will tell you, we've been friends for a long time. We do a podcast together, and we've been friends for a long time. And this was actually Mike's idea. Mike called me up and said, I think we should travel around the world and go to sporting events. And it took me like 4 seconds to go, yeah, no, that's a great idea. Let's do that.
That sounds like way too much fun. Joe, great to have you with us as always. Thank you, bud.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Joe Posnanski joining us on the Fan Hotline.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there is Andy Baskin.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy behind the glass is going to lead us in NFL rapid fire, and he would be Dan Menigan.
Dan, the man.
Hit it, Dano.
Let's begin, gentlemen, with what took place on the doubleheader of Monday Night Football. We'll go in the late game because I think what's being overshadowed in the Raiders Chargers game is the fact that Tom Brady in the booth with a headset on during that game.
Yeah.
Wearing a suit while everybody else was wearing like sweatsuits.
Which got people
thought that was weird.
Little hot in a biscuit.
Why?
Well, because the guy is now sitting inside of production meetings and he's having exclusive conversations with coaches and that stuff while also being a part owner because they laxed all of his Fox rules.
Not all of them, did they?
Good chunk of them.
Slippery slope.
So, like, for example, on things that people are keeping an eye on, he broadcast the Bears game this week, the week after Raiders play the Bears.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Andy Baskin, I ask you, because you guys have experience with some level of production meetings. Shenanigans? Like, do you look at this and go, okay, there's something going on here that's probably a little not right?
Or are we just blowing this out of proportion? He should not be allowed in those production meetings because that's where the best stuff comes from the announcers, because you get this, like, half hour with a coach or assistant coaches and players, and you really get a chance to kind of ask questions that sometimes are you know, hardline questions, sometimes are soft questions, sometimes are personality-based questions and all those things. And I know just from even just doing the Browns how important those were in doing pregame.
They're helpful.
The preseason. They're really, really helpful. They're helpful. And it makes the broadcast easier because you kind of feel you have a connection to the game that you wouldn't from our point of view, but we didn't play the game. So I don't think it's right that he's in those pre-production meetings. In fact, if I was his teammate, what's the play-by-play guy that he does with
Burkhart, right?
Burkhart, yeah.
Kevin Burkhart.
If I'm Kevin, I wouldn't want him in the room. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't want him in the room during those meetings because they're not going to say anything. They're not going to give Kevin anything. They're not going to give the producer anything. They're not going to give the director anything if he's in the room, because why would you? I wouldn't. There's no way. I wouldn't say a word. In fact, I'd be super tight-lipped about anything. So the information we get during the games, probably significantly less when he calls them. It's all based on his knowledge and not direct knowledge of the team.
I second everything Andy just said.
There you go.
Not much more to say about that one.
Thank you.
I always appreciate it when the other person goes, ditto.
Ditto.
Yep.
Ditto.
It was strange seeing Brady sitting up there.
It was weird. Like, well, he was wearing a suit.
Weren't you calling a game yesterday?
Ohio State guy. AB. Yeah. Always been a fan.
Yeah.
Are you worried about CJ Stroud at all?
No, not really.
Okay. There's some discord going on right now about CJ Stroud.
Yeah, and their offensive line isn't really doing the best of jobs, despite Nick Chubb busting a 25-yard touchdown run.
I like CJ Stroud. I don't know that I love CJ Stroud. Does that make sense to you?
No, that's fine.
He speaks highly of you.
Yeah, I liked him. I appreciated his time at Ohio State. I appreciate him in the NFL, except for when he's playing against the Browns.
He hasn't taken that next step yet in his NFL career.
I'm not
it's still early. I'll take him over anybody we have.
That's true.
Sorry.
This is what, his third season, right? Yes.
I'm going to keep dropping that line
until
I can't say it anymore.
for every, like, the only time we could really have this conversation. Actually, this might be the place to do it. Jeff, the Browns quarterback room or Spencer Rattler? Like, that's where we are. So we could just throw
right
that
now,
one
we'll
in the
tank. Spencer Rattler.
Would you really?
I don't. The guy's played okay for the Saints. He's been okay.
I think we could drop the I'd take him over anybody in the Browns quarterback.
I'm enjoying it too much.
Okay. Fine. Let's take a look at the 0-2 teams in the league. Is Andy rattled off?
Yes.
Yeah.
With the 0-2 teams, which of these teams should be concerned? And let's start with the one Browns. That everybody has.
Browns.
You know what? I'm done.
Don't be done.
Don't be a baby. Come on.
I'm done.
Wasn't me.
Oh, I was just kidding. Done.
Turn off his mic and let's go. You and me. Sorry.
You two can do the segment
Turn
together.
Turn off his
go
mic.
A whole big intro for the Kansas City Chiefs and I get some horse's rear. I go, bruh. There's not even an N and an S on the end. It's just brow.
Bruh.
Go back.
Back to your regular scheduled music.
If you're Kansas City Chiefs, you're 0-2 to begin this season. You dropped one of the games in Brazil. The second one was against the Super Bowl champions of last season. How worried are you if you're a Chiefs fan of your team not sniffing the playoffs?
Not that worried. The Chargers, I think, are pretty good. And we know the Eagles are pretty good. They're 0-2. What do you think? Chiefs win 11 games?
Yeah,
12 games?
If I'm Kansas City, I'm not worried. They'll bounce back.
I think they make the playoffs. And then we'll see. One thing, Travis Kelce has made a couple of mistakes in each game that he's beating himself up over.
Yeah.
Knocked out Xavier Worthy's shoulder. And then this last game, it didn't look like the pass was intended for him. It looked like it was deflected. And all of a sudden, this pass was on him, and it hit him in the hands. But he wasn't expecting it. And then it popped up and, you know, interception when it should have been a touchdown. I don't think he's done, and I don't think he's old before his time. I think he's still got a lot of good football in him, but he's beating himself up right now.
They have the Giants this week. That is the elixir that they need. So they'll be 1-2.
Russell Wilson had 700 yards passing last week.
They are playing the Giants this week.
Houston,
this is
Texans
the elixir they need.
Houston, Texas looking 0-2 as well. Are you concerned?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. If I'm the Houston Texans, I'm a little concerned.
I would be too.
C.J. Stroud's not playing great. Their offensive line has not been incredible. Nick Chubb, other than one run last night, did not look like Nick Chubb. And that's probably a lot on the offensive line. And Joe Mixon is in the silent zone with Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz for very, very different reasons. You're not hearing anything about Joe Mixon. And he might miss the entire season because he picked up some kind of a foot injury while working out on his own that nobody wants to tell anybody about. Something going on there.
If you really want to be concerned, let's see what happens against Jacksonville. We need Jacksonville to start losing some games.
Let's go.
Go on at this point. We'll keep an eye. It's getting a little weird in Jacksonville, too, if you watch any of that Liam Cohen presser where he was talking about, you know, they
Liam
asked him
Cohen's
about Brian
yelling
Thomas.
At Thor, and Thor's yelling back at
all
Liam
right.
Cohen.
Well, at every juncture inside of Rapid Fire this year, as long as he has a job, we will do a Mike McDaniel check-in.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's getting weird down in Miami. And so this week in the post-game press conference, this was said by Mike McDaniel.
To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game. That is how you lose the game. You're moving the ball down the field. You're first and 10, and then you find yourself at second and 20.
What was in his water bottle?
Well, when water is wet, water is water, so therefore it's wet. Right? Something like that. His last game could be Cleveland, or maybe we won't even see him against Cleveland.
Former Browns receivers coach, you know?
Yeah, they've got Buffalo this week. That's not going to help him. The Jets. Well, that could be his last game.
It's getting weird.
It could be his last game.
It's getting real weird down there. Things to keep an eye on for darn sure of what's happening down in Miami right now as they are 0-2, and that's not looking any better. So let's go the other direction on the positive.
Oh, we're doing positive now? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, go.
Jeff?
Yeah?
I don't have victory lap music anymore, thanks to rulings and all that stuff, but here's your victory lap. Do you want your victory lap for Daniel Jones, or is the jury still out?
I'll take one.
I think the jury's still out, personally.
I do, too, except for one thing. The guy can play quarterback in the NFL. Can he play great quarterback in the NFL? Eh, that's still to be determined. But the guy can play. And if I think, Andy, it's like most quarterbacks. If you put because there are only 32 of these guys,
right,
who are starting in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
If you include guys who are injured, might be 40 this week. But anyhow, it's a small sample size. If you're in the NFL and they surround you with a good offensive line and some good skill position players, most quarterbacks can succeed, at least look competent.
Yes.
And Daniel Jones is looking more than
competent. Wait a minute, what does that say about the Browns? I'm thinking about what I just said yes to.
Well, the Browns haven't surrounded their quarterback with good skill position players nor a good offensive line right now. So there.
Need a buzzer every time you bring up the Browns in rapid fire.
Andy goes there. Makes you mad. Hey, there's a buzzer.
Put it in a penalty box.
Dan asks and he gets his buzzer. How about that? And that's NFL rapid fire, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.